Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Matthias Wagner, along with my co-host, Will Lomas. And we have a special guest here today. We kind of promised it to you last week, but it couldn't happen. Unfortunately, we had to get the podcast out in quick fashion, given all the events that were going on. But we have with us Luke Worsham, former co-host of No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. Luke, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. It's great to be here. I'm excited for this. I was bummed I couldn't make it last week because I was sitting at my desk at work and the John Robinson news happened. And of course, I start to get all these texts about it. And so I was distracted for the rest of the day. Unfortunately, I had tickets to the Predators game that night, so I couldn't join you guys. But I'm thrilled to be able to break it down now. And I'm sure Will and I will get into it for old time's sake.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that'll happen.
I mean, the people were clamoring for it. They literally called for your name as soon as it happened on our Twitter account. So I'm glad we're able to make that happen. And I guess we could kind of just get into it with that and start with that. What was your initial reaction when you heard the John Robinson news? And it seemed like you kind of maybe weren't too surprised by it.
Oh, no, I was very surprised. Like, the first thing I did was I triple-checked the tweet that I had been sent to make sure that it wasn't Barry McConkiner, because it seemed to me completely out of left field. And then I realized it was accurate. And so, it was very shocking, I thought. But I certainly get the logic behind it, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys just want to like start going for it, but I kind of want to steer clear and let you guys kind of argue about it. But I know it kind of made sense because of the AJ Brown thing, and it seemed like a very impulsive decision by Amy Adams Strunk. But all signs are kind of pointing to that this had been brewing ever since the offseason, ever since the A.J. Brown trade. And everyone has kind of like come out against John Robinson. It's been happening for a little while, but especially given all of the injuries that the Titans have had to deal with, and it's kind of exposed some of the depth flaws, I guess, that the roster has had. A lot of people point to the draft classes, particularly in 2020 and 2021, just too many misses in the draft and kind of a mismanagement of certain positions, particularly wide receiver and offensive line. Do you think that's kind of just what did it?
Yeah, let me set sort of my position on this, and then if we want to argue and have a debate, we can. I don't think that I'm going to be nearly as militant in my stance as maybe you expect. I probably would not have done this because John Robinson has done so much for the organization. He means a lot. He is sort of a figure of stability. You kind of know what you're going to get with him. But at the same time, I look at this move and I say, yeah, I buy that. Like, I don't dislike it, certainly. I kind of like it, I guess. I don't love it, maybe. Look, here's the deal. We spent all last season talking about, man, the Titans just have no one, and Mike Vrabel just keeps getting it done. And, you know, I haven't been around this year, of course, but I've kept up a little bit. And, you know, every now and then on a Sunday afternoon, I find myself on the couch watching the Titans. And it's the same story again. Like, everyone's hurt, or, you know, people just aren't good in the way that you expected them to be. And so you've got these people like Adams, the safety, number 47, right? This shows you how marginal my attention
is.
Yeah,
so far so good, yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Adams, right? That's his name?
Yeah, I didn't even know who he was until...
You got guys like that. The corner, number 38, who am I thinking of? Is there a 38?
I think it's 28. No, I think it's Kalu, right?
No, not Kalu. I know Kalu.
You're talking about Mitchell, Terrence Mitchell, right?
Yes, 37. Terrence Mitchell.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's 37. All these guys keep coming in and over, man, Mike Vrabel just comes up with a plan and never count Mike Vrabel out. He just, like, at a certain point, you have to identify the cause of, like, okay, why is it that every week it is a piecemeal team that Mike Vrabel just sort of has to, quote unquote, as, you know, the media says, heroically put together a win? And it's like, because this team is just not talented. And I think it all comes down to really two issues. Because the Titans defense is not that bad. You still have Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker just got a deal. Zach Cunningham, from my understanding, has been disappointing this year. But, you know, there's still Bud Dupree, and it'd be a lot better if Harold Landry had not gotten hurt. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, the defense is what it is. But offensively, okay, let me say this. Todd Downing's a problem. He's got to go. I never said that last year. I sort of thought it, but I never really said it. Now I'm saying it and thinking it. He's got to go, and Mike Vrabel is on the hook for that. It's ridiculous at this point. But the receivers and the offensive line are awful. And I know Dennis Daly doesn't need to be out there anymore. That needs to change. But Robinson has whiffed on offensive lineman after offensive lineman. You have Dylan Raidens. You have Isaiah Wilson. He should have re-signed Jack Conklin. Over and over again, right, these whiffs at offensive line where they should have been in a position to where, you know, Taylor Lewan on the way out, Roger Saffold on the way out last year. They should have been in a position where they, like, had capable people in the fold and could Band-Aid or heal those wounds. And they can't because there's nothing there. And in the wide receiver position, it's just sad what Vrabel and Tannehill have to work with. And again, Todd Downing doesn't get off the hook here. But when the best you got, because Treylon Burks is hurt, is Robert Woods and Cody Hollister, right? These guys, it's bad to watch. And I'll close this sort of monologue with this thought. You know, I was watching the Jaguars game on a Sunday. Ryan Tannehill didn't throw to an open receiver all game. Every throw was to someone who was covered. And the throws that converted to completions, they just kind of somehow won the 50-50 ball or made it happen. Because no one is creating separation. No one creates separation. Because no one can create separation. Because Robert Woods is washed. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is a wide receiver 4 that's playing wide receiver 2. Cody Hollister stinks out loud. Right? There's no separation. And both of those problems go straight back to John Robinson and his failures at the wide receiver position, which go beyond A.J. Brown, because that's a bad one, and I'm still think that was bad, but it goes well beyond just that singular issue.
Okay, so let me jump in. Here's my question. So last year they played 91 players, more players than any NFL team has ever played before.
Yep.
This year they're on track to play 89 players.
Okay.
Which would be second most. The guys that were drafted, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chigakonkwa, I mean, Chig's healthy. But it's like, you know, these guys, they don't have injury histories. You know, they're healthy in college. And then they walk through the door and they get injured. You know, I think it's lazy to say that all the injuries are a result of a poor strength and conditioning staff and training staff or whatever. But I think if you think that this strength and conditioning staff or medical staff or whatever is competent, I think you don't know what you're talking about, because you look at guys like Ola Adeniyi, who they just cut, which was weird because he came back for one game off of, he missed two or three games with a neck injury that was poorly evaluated by the medical staff. They put him on IR. They used one of their few return IR spots to bring him back. Then he played one game and then he was cut the next week. And it's like, that's just a bad job of evaluating. Like, it's a complete mismanagement of an injury. Then you have Kyle Phillips, who he started out with a shoulder injury. He had to take off time and rehab and do all that. And then he got a hamstring injury. The week he's supposed to come back from a hamstring injury, he reportedly has a setback. And now they don't know if he's going to come back at all this season. And it's like, you know, you look at Elijah Molden, who had an injury that kept him out of for 6 weeks in the training camp, and that landed him on IR to start the season. And then he comes back and instantly re-aggravates it. And Christian Fulton's got his hamstring thing that's popped up. And it's like, these guys don't have injury histories before they come to Nashville. It's like, as soon as they get off the plane at BNA, they're all of a sudden injury prone. And that I just don't understand how people aren't one year. Okay. That's a fluke maybe, but either they're the most because you think about it, to have the most injured team in NFL history is already crazy. But to basically match those numbers the next year, you're talking about, you know, a 1 in 32 chance and then following that up with a 1 in 32 chance. That's like going and getting back-to-back hits in roulette. Like, statistically, it does not make sense. And so, people talk about there's an issue with the depth and all that. But we're in a salary cap era. You can't keep everybody you want to keep. There's only a certain number of draft picks. If you got a problem with the AJ Brown trade, like, that's fine. Like, at this point, the people who you know, whether you listen to Mike Keith or whatever, like, I don't want to skew this too far because I want this to be a pretty down the middle take. But, you know, I think everybody involved didn't want AJ gone. We've talked about that. We don't need to rehash it. But people are going to believe what they want to believe about the AJ Brown thing. But this was an issue when AJ Brown was on the team, when he was put on IR, and when he was injured for back-to-back years. You know, like, this is not if AJ Brown was here, everything would be better. If AJ Brown was here, he'd have been on IR 6 weeks ago, and we wouldn't have seen him. You know, he's played more snaps with Philadelphia, or he will in the next game, than he played with Tennessee last year. And there's still a month to go in the season. And it's like, you look at all these guys who aren't injury prone until they walk through the door. And then all of a sudden, now that we're retroactively looking at it, they're injury prone now. And it's like, I don't buy that any team who's playing their 80th player in the first week of December is poorly prepared. I don't think anybody can prepare for 80. You know, you can't prepare for, you know, Harold Landry to tear his ACL week one, like right before the season starts. You can't prepare for Jeffrey Simmons to have a twisted ankle and for it to just slowly heal. You can't prepare for Danico Autry to have whatever he's got going on with his leg, and then Bud Dupree to have hip injuries all of a sudden. It's like, it's not like he's taking guys with hamstring, and you know, everybody thinks that Julio and Caleb Farley are indicative of what John Robinson did, when that's not the case. Those are two outliers who didn't work, and we're using those two gambles to say, and that's the type of guy John Robinson brought in, which just isn't true. I mean, Treylon Burks is famous at Arkansas for playing through pain and not missing time. You know, he dragged them to that Texas A&M game where they either won it or he had like 150 yards. Like, you know, it's such a weird thing that people are just so accepting of saying, well, it's because they have injury prone players. It's like, it's just the history does not back that up. And then some people say, well, it's the type of players they get, and it's, you know, it's getting an undersized guy like Kyle Phillips, and then, you know, putting him out there. He was out there for one game before he got hurt, and it was a shoulder injury, and that turned into a soft tissue injury in the middle of a week. It doesn't track. And so, you know, I think injuries are a big part of the problem. I think that Todd Downing does a terrible job finding out. I mean, think about it took, what, 10 weeks and two back-to-back games with 40-yard catches for Chigakonkwo to finally get more passing, like passing reps, not targets, just reps in the passing game than Swaim. Like, that's such a poor mismanagement of talent. And, you know, you talk about Dylan Raidens. Like, Dylan Raidens has played left guard, right guard, like left tackle. I don't think he's played right tackle in a game. I think he's played right tackle in the preseason, but I know he's played right tackle in the preseason. And whether you watch the games or look at PFF, it's clear that he should be starting at either left guard or left tackle. You know, if you don't think he's a tackle, fine. You know, everything about his tape and his performance, you know, his career says you're wrong, but fine. But if he's better than the left guard you have, who your head coach has vouched for being tougher than a $2 steak when he's getting his ass whipped on repeat every single game, you know, that I don't know what you do. Like, I don't know how badly these guys have to get beaten before Mike Vrabel admits the first mistake of his life.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with just about everything you said. Mainly that at this point, it is not conspiratorial in the least to say the Titans are doing something wrong with all of these injuries. Because for you to 2 years in a row have a record number of injuries that has never been seen in the history of the NFL, for this to be such a consistent problem, they are doing something wrong. There is something about their process that is not being done well. Now, I don't know what that is. I'm not sitting here and saying it's the trainers or it's the grass on the practice field or it's the medical or what. I don't know what the problem is, but when a process is yielding results like that, there is something wrong with the process. The process needs to be addressed. The process needs to be fixed. So I don't know what that is. Where you maybe start to get conspiratorial at worst, but then speculative at best, is when you start to say, well, I think it's this, and I think it's this, and this guy needs to be fired. And I don't know. I'm not in the building. But Vrabel's got to do something next year. He just has to. He's not going to. But for this to be this bad of a problem for the second year in a row points to something in the process being wrong. You're dead right on that, Will. The evidence is indisputable. And, you know, last year when people were bringing this up, I asked Vrabel about it, and he made the comment. He said, you know, when I would get hurt as a player, I wouldn't say, oh, well it was the trainer's fault or whatever. And that is a more than fair point. Here's the problem. It is not the trainer's fault that you get injured, but I'm curious as to whether there is something about their training program or the way that they go about rehabilitating injuries that have already happened. I don't know. You would have to be inside the building to understand that stuff, but something is up there, and certainly John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are not to blame for that. What John Robinson, or maybe Mike Vrabel is, I don't know, John Robinson not. What John Robinson is to blame for, though, because you made a fair point, well, it's like, and how in the world could you prepare for all of those injuries? And that is fair. The problem I have with John Robinson is not so much that there's, like, not depth for injuries. I don't think I've ever said that was a flaw of his. It's mostly the guys before the injuries that just aren't very good at this point on the roster. The salary cap situation is not good, which means they're not exactly going to be able to go out into free agency and get a whole heck of a lot better. But the Titans overall as a team, from my perspective, and again, you know, a year ago I would have considered myself, as you two are, an expert on the Titans. I am not anymore. But from my current vantage point, which again is not as clear and as reliable as y'all's vantage point, they strike me as a team that's very slow, that is not explosive at all. You know, I talked about the receivers not getting separation. There's just no real wow factor about this team right now. Kevin Byard's good. Tannehill's doing the best he can, certainly from what I've watched throughout this year. Jeffrey Simmons, from what I understand, has been disappointing as a pass rusher. Hasn't been as explosive as he was last year. But like, it's those three guys, and who else? Derrick Henry, right? He's had a an uplifting year, certainly.
Mediocre.
Well, I mean, you would know more than I would. But it's those guys, and who? Like, the guys that you look around the Titans and you're like, I kind of like that guy. Guys like Chigakonkwo, who I think is a fun guy to watch. He's played very well from what I've seen as a rookie. But, like, you don't build a team around 23-year-old Chigakonkwo.
Do you think the Titans are missing blue-chip players? Do you think that's what's kind of keeping them from possibly taking the next step and turning into a powerhouse? And do you think that's, you know, kind of linked to John Robinson's demise in terms of some of his drafting? Because obviously we look to Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley. That's two first round picks that essentially have just been burned, like just lit on fire. And I mean, the Wilson one, we kind of saw it coming. We didn't think it was going to be this bad. The Farley one, I think we were all kind of in agreement that it was a good pick because he was a top 10 type of talent in the draft. And he really looked like he had the profile of a Pro Bowl type of cornerback, but the injuries have just completely killed him.
Yeah. So a couple of things on that. I think they are suffering from not having blue chip talent. And I think that stems to the repeated first round whiffs from John Robinson. I'm probably missing one. Conklin was a hit, even though he didn't re-sign Jack Conklin. Jeffrey Simmons was a hit in the first round. And then the rest of them have just been not good. Rashawn Evans, not good. Isaiah Wilson, abject failure, disaster, torpedo. Caleb Farley, not good. I know I'm missing one. Corey Davis, Corey Jackson, not good.
They were good, not great. They fall under
that Christian Kirk like mold where it's like they got a bunch of money in free agency and then we haven't watched them close, but you know, they've been good. Like, they would have been really good second round picks. Like, yeah. I think they're victims of where they were drafted, but like when Adoree Jackson got hurt this year on a kick return or punt return or whatever, Giants fans lost their mind about how they lost their best corner. And this was when they were 6-1 or whatever they were. So, I mean, he's obviously doing something to make a good impression with them. And then Corey Davis is, you know, Corey Davis is Corey Davis. Like, when he's good and he's the number two in a passing game, which is where he is now, when he's on the field, he's going to help you in the run game. And he's going to, you know, he's a really good number two, but he's just not going to be a number one, and he's got health concerns.
And when you take a receiver fifth overall, I think you just got to get a number one. But look, you know, we have had that debate so many times. But the chief problem with John Robinson, so that's it. Only really two blue chip players in the first round. Some in the later rounds, Byard and Henry certainly fit in that category. But you got to get, you know, starters and long-term players in the first round. But I think the biggest problem with John Robinson, the biggest indictment of his tenure with the Titans is, and you might know this number off the top of your head. I heard it last week listening to the radio. I can't remember it. So few players that he drafted got a second contract. And that tends to be the measure of successful draft picks, right? That measure being after 4 years, are they good enough to warrant the money to keep them around? And hardly anyone has gotten a second contract from John Robinson. Harold Landry, Amani Hooker, right? We can name some. Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, right? That's four out of what, like 50 draft picks? I know there's more I'm not thinking of, but you get the point. It's very few.
Right.
Jayon Brown, you can't even really count because they weren't going to give him a second contract, but then he got nothing from anyone else, and he kind of begrudgingly came back.
Is that Robinson's fault, though, or is it that Vrabel doesn't see them as
quality starters? let's take a timeout real quick here, because here's what really trips me up about this stat, and for some reason it just baffles people that like they can't understand it. You know who can't get a contract, who hadn't got a new contract? Jeffrey Simmons, Nate Davis, like Amani Hooker just got extended. Like these guys, like the 2019 draft class hasn't finished their contract year yet. It's not like,
you know, there's who else from that draft class didn't get a new contract from the Titans.
I was like AJ got one, but my point is, like, we look at it and it's like, yeah, they didn't get any it's like, look at how many draft picks they've had. It's like, well, 2/3 of those have happened when he can't extend anybody. Like the guys he's extended are like Harold Landry and like you said, Jayon Brown, and we talked about Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry and all that. And it's like, part of that's like, okay, they could have re-signed Jonnu, like, I guess, like he got a crazy deal from the Patriots that they were never gonna like get close to, but
sure, that's important context.
And they also had to spend that money on Danico Autry, because that was the offseason after Mike Vrabel pounded the table for Jadeveon Clowney for half a year, and then they got him and everybody was like, hooray, and then he did nothing as Mike Vrabel shadow DC'd the Titans and wouldn't admit who was the defensive coordinator. And then at the end of the year, he threw Shane. Like,
on the other end of that, though, right along with that, you could blame John Robinson for Vic Beasley, which was virtually the same situation.
Right. But he is, like, my problem is he is getting blamed for that. It's not like, oh, people forget about Vic Beasley. It's like, no, like he gets blamed for Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney. And for the fact that he let Jack Conklin walk. And it's like, the reason why those guys, why Jack Conklin and why Jonnu Smith and all that are gone, is because they couldn't invest that kind of money because they had to rebuild an entire defense. And Conklin is different because he came off an ACL injury and then he wasn't the same. And then his last year, he was good. But I would say I wanted them to re-sign Jack Conklin, and I was in the minority. Everybody was like, you can just draft a right tackle. Like, look at what Dennis Kelly can do. And Dennis Kelly did a good job when Arthur Smith was here. But that's sort of the problem, is everybody says we should spend that money other places until those guys do well in Cleveland. By the way, Cleveland doesn't even necessarily want Jack Conklin back. Like, they had discussions about cutting him this offseason, not because he's not good, but because he's not healthy, which was the whole thing. So, you know, the problem is these, like, fans will look at a highlight from Corey Davis, just as an example, and for the next 6 weeks, Corey Davis may not have another catch, but everybody will say, see, they should have just kept Corey Davis because look how good he's doing, because people see a very small fragment of a picture and they don't keep up with all 32 teams. And then they just extrapolate that and they say, wow, like that guy's doing great. And it's like, it just like people think that AJ Brown like killed the Titans. You know who else killed the Titans? Everybody that, you know, it's like Mac Hollins had 200 yards or whatever. Evan Ingram just torched him. Yeah, I mean, like, it's.
Well, I thought you were talking about specifically former players.
Well, no, I mean, but you are right. Like, it's like, you know, like, this is not a new phenomenon. They tried to run a double reverse pass to AJ Brown, but it was covered. Like, the Eagles were very clearly trying to force the ball there, but fans get so upset. Like, and nobody wanted AJ Brown gone. Like, not, I mean, I promise you that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson weren't like, you know what would make our life harder? If we didn't have that guy. Like that, but they just didn't have a choice. It's like, that's what bothers me.
Well, that's what I question. I question whether they had a choice. And a lot of that for both of us is based on hunch, because AJ Brown tells one story and John Robinson tells another. And so it's like, well, who are you going to believe? Or does it come like right down the middle, you know?
Yeah. And maybe John Robinson's version isn't 100% right, but we know that AJ Brown's isn't. So
I still would have just paid AJ Brown what he wanted. I don't really care.
I mean, like, yeah, maybe, except again, like, he would be a 30 million guy on injured reserve right now. Like that I guess is like conjecture, but based off the fact that he missed time with the Titans every single year he was with the Titans, I would assume he would have missed at some point, and fans would have been like, just imagine if they would have spent, you know, fans want to have $500 million to spend and they want to pick and choose where they would have spent that money. But instead of rehashing this, let me ask you this. And Matias, I'm curious what your opinion is on this. So let's talk about Caleb Farley. If Caleb Farley never takes another snap in the NFL, he'll be a bust, and he may not. He may come back next year and be fine. We're going to assume the worst just because we haven't seen any reason to be positive about it. But the whole reason, the big explanation on why Caleb Farley is a Titan is because there was such a big deal made about how this was the combine that you could go and you could look at people, and the Titans medical staff got a hold of him and they cleared him and they gave him, they said that there's no chance that he'll re-aggravate this and this, that, and the other. And then he's torn his ACL and hurt his back in back-to-back years. And so I understand that the responsibility ultimately falls on John Robinson with who you draft, but it's just another example of we have that in print where you can pull up the audio clip where he said, we ran straight to Caleb and had our medical team check him out. It's like, this is a direct correlation of these guys involved with this process screwing up and dropping the ball in a situation where all they had to do was say, we're not comfortable with this, and I guess you could say John Robinson's lying, but that doesn't I don't know why that would benefit him, because it's not like the Titans were desperate for a cornerback at that point. It was very much like a best player available kind of pick. So because we all wanted Elijah Moore, who, matched what John Robinson is traditionally like multi-thousand year receiver at Ole Miss, like an SEC school, started forever. Blah, 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 AJ Brown's best friend, blah, 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 blah. But it's everything about that draft, and you look at what they did this year, again, back-to-back SEC picks with their first and second round pick, and Treylon Burks and Roger McCreary, both are multi-year starters with great production. It's like they have a type, and when they go away from it, it's strange. And when they went away from it they didn't even go away from it in 2020, they just got Wilson and Fulton. Like, Wilson was terrible and Fulton just hadn't been healthy enough. But it's like they do that consistently. So when they take Farley and Raidens, you're like, well, that's weird. I wonder why they took them. And there's just no explanation in my mind that justifies taking Caleb Farley if your medical team doesn't clear him. And since he's a project guy, which is so atypical from what John Robinson's other draft picks are. I just have a problem with that falling on Robinson completely, because the only explanation is they graded him as somebody who could be an elite guy with real high upside, like Pro Bowl potential, and that was the best guy they had there, and their medical staff gave him the thumbs up. I mean, tell me if I'm crazy in thinking that that's why that makes sense.
No, I mean, it's tough because we really don't know who wants what player and who's pounding the table for which player. I remember we had the theory that was it Dick LeBeau that was pounding the table for Kevin Dodd. Back in the day. So it's frustrating, and we can't really say for sure. The Farley pick to me seemed a little bit like a luxury, but we also have to take into account the fact that the defense was a disaster going into that offseason. And they really needed to do a lot to fix it. And I think they wanted to just get more high talented, high level types of talent. And they had success with Jeffrey Simmons coming off an injury 2 years ago before that. And I think that kind of made the Titans comfortable to draft Farley. And obviously it's been a complete disaster. His body has just completely betrayed him. But then I go back to, you say that the Titans wanted Elijah Moore. A lot of people did. Elijah Moore just gotten benched by the New York Jets, and he has asked for a trade, and it's not going well at all with the Jets, even though he had a promising rookie season. The other guy a lot of people wanted was Rashad Bateman. He's out for the year. He's had foot injuries. He's been injured all both of his seasons in the NFL. We'd be killing John Robinson if we drafted either of those guys.
Yeah, but we can't judge John Robinson based on what we would have done in his position. The nature of that job is you are judged on hindsight. No one looked back at that Browns GM and said, but everyone loved Justin Gilbert. And oh, Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. I mean, he was the best college quarterback in a decade. No, you don't say that. You say no, they came in, they sucked.
But the difference is they weren't winning the division every year. You know, that,
and that's fair.
So it's like there's this weird this disconnect with the fan base where, and it's not as simple as this, but it's like everybody says, well, if John Robinson would have just hit on those first round picks in 2020 and 2021, this team would be great. And it's like the problem, because it goes back to Matias's question about blue chip talent. Like the problem to me isn't that blue chip talent isn't there. It's that it's all on injured reserve or not playing. Like, I mean, this
like
team
who?
Would look like, look at this team. Do what?
Like who? Burks?
Like, at the beginning of the season when they had everybody, even without Harold Landry, right? They had 5 sacks in the first half. Like,
Rashad I watched Weaver, the Chiefs game. It was fabulous.
Well, so, but my point is like, the beginning of the season, the defense still was missing Harold Landry and Elijah Molden. And, you know, I think somebody else was hurt, but I can't remember. But by week 2, they've already – and look, I'm not saying Taylor Lewan is great anymore. Like, I think we've seen I think we've seen his last snap. I think he knows it. I think we can all accept that. But, didn't go to IR last year. It's not like he tore his ACL last year. He tore his ACL the year before. So this should have been the year he was healthy if he was going to be healthy. And then he tore his ACL on his other leg in like the first snap of week 2. So by the second snap of week 2, you've got to have Dennis Daly in, which we'll get back to him in a second. But they also don't have – so they're missing Taylor Lewan. They're missing Harold Landry. They're missing – like in any way, fast forward to now, and you've got – Harold Landry's out. Jeffrey Simmons is on a bum ankle, and he's not even practicing during the week. And he's just clearly, like, you know, he's not the same guy who was getting, like, a sack and a half or whatever, like, or a sack every game for the first half of the season. Like, he's just been different since his ankle got hurt. And then Denico Autry, who led you in sacks. Like, the Titans were averaging 3 sacks a game before he got hurt, and they've only gotten 3 sacks in the game since, like, combined. So it's like, that's a problem. Then you've got Zach Cunningham and David Long, who Zach Cunningham isn't like an all pro, but he's a like we saw last year, he's a functional linebacker who is long and you can't really run inside against him because he just comes downhill so quick. And David Long is one of the better linebackers in the NFL, like when you just watch him. So you've got all those guys injured and you have Fulton injured and you've got a lot, like they were missing all their cornerbacks last week. Like, Christian Fulton and Molden were out, and then McCreary played, but McCreary, you know, plays all the time. But it's like they've got guys off the street. Like, the plan was never for those guys to be in the game. Like, those guys weren't on the roster. The guys who were on the roster are all hurt. Like, so that's my problem with it is, like, you know, maybe the offense wouldn't be great. I would argue that if Lewan was in and if Treylon Burks didn't get a dirty hit by, you know, Philadelphia on that touchdown catch. And, you know, when you look at everything they've done, like he and Chig and Robert Woods, like Robert Woods and Treylon Burks in the Green Bay game were awesome. Like, I mean, they were great. They had like 5 catches and I think Robert Woods had like 60 yards and Treylon Burks had like 100 yards and almost scored a touchdown, but like at the end of the game, but it just turned into like he had 2 catches that went for 40 or more yards. Like that, like they were really good. But the problem is like those guys aren't going to get stats when they insist on running the ball so much. And then when you do pass the ball, you've got the worst tackle in the NFL playing left tackle for you. And everybody says, well, it's John Robinson who traded a 5th round pick. You know what else he did? He spent a 2nd round pick on Dylan Raidens. That like, he should, like, I don't understand why this. He's not, though.
Is
like,
he,
that's
though?
The thing.
Is he, though?
He's that's not. Like, yeah. It's, that's the thing. It's like, everybody's like, he's bad. It's like, no, you're assuming that Mike Vrabel knows better than we do when we've seen him do this dumb stuff. Like, we've seen him play Questenberry for a whole season. Like, we've seen him play Matt Dickerson for a whole season. Like, we've seen him
whole seasons on the Matt Dickerson front.
Yeah, and to try to start Rashawn Evans when he doesn't know in year 3 where to run, and they're having to tell him where to go. Like, we've seen him connect with these guys, be friendly with these guys, and play them over guys who are better at their position. Like, David Long had to ride the bench for 3 years when he essentially, like, helped shut down the Ravens in that playoff game when he was everywhere and was in on 2 fourth-down stops. But he got put on the bench and made a special teams player because that just wasn't what Mike Vrabel wanted to do. It's like, Mike Vrabel's a good coach. That's not – this gets lost. I think Mike Vrabel's a good coach. I think the opinion out there of him that is – he's only going to go as far as his coordinators take him, but he will always have a locker room that's competitive and has an advantage because he knows the rule book and he understands when to take timeouts and he understands those small things about the game. I think that's right. But the problem is he's never had a bad offensive coordinator or a bad defensive coordinator that he's had to fire. You know, Dean Pease, you know, quote unquote retired, but that's because Mike Vrabel just wanted to take over the defense. And then the next year,
and that was a disaster.
Yeah, it's like he's never had somebody who did the job poorly that he actually made a tough decision on. He's always either waited for their contracts to expire or he's let them retire and walk away. He's never had to make the tough decision. And we're at the point now where the guy who is going to make or was going to make the tough decisions is out of the building. And so now we're at a situation where this guy was, you know, John Robinson was not really a scapegoat because there wasn't that much blame, but the first time that this team hits any sort of significant controversy or bumpy part, you know, all the fans are like, this team's terrible, it sucks, blah blah blah, and everybody's like, but not you, Mike. You're doing great. And at the same time, these fans are also like, I just can't believe we keep getting injured. And I just can't believe our offense isn't doing well. And it's like, he's responsible for that. Like, he's responsible for the training protocol and for the strength and conditioning and making sure that these players are healthy. He's responsible for hiring and firing the offensive coordinator. Like, and it's worse than it was last year. And there's this disconnect to me that I don't understand where it comes from.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's just, we always keep going back to the same things, and I feel like we just keep going in circles, at least me and Will. But I don't know. I at the very least, I think John Robinson should have gotten to the end of this season before this was done. It really just seemed like a very impulsive decision from Amy Adams Strunk, and we'll see. We'll see if it works out. I don't know. I'm a little bit scared. I think there's a lot of negatives that could come out of this, but I mean we've already started to see it. I don't know if any of it has to do with John Robinson, but let's take a quick ad break, and then we'll come back and start to kind of talk about some of those negatives after.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back into No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. Now that we've gotten the John Robinson part of the programming out of the way, we are finally clear to talk about the Titans game from this past weekend. So I think going into the game, a lot of fans kind of felt that the Titans, especially coming off that Eagles game where they got absolutely destroyed 35-10 and got really outclassed by a great Eagles team. I think people came into the Jaguars game thinking that the Titans very well could drop this one. Not necessarily a trap game because the Titans were coming off a big loss anyway, but the Titans do end up losing this game, but they did it in a fashion that was really, really problematic and disconcerting, at least to me, because a lot of their old issues that haven't even popped up this season started popping up in this one. Like, Evan Engram goes off for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Titans have played tight ends very well for this entire season, and that's something from, like, the 2020 Titans. Trevor Lawrence looks like a legitimate all-pro out there against the Titans' pass defense that hasn't been great this year, but the defense has been one of the better parts of the team. Thankfully, the run defense looked good. Who cares? The Jaguars scored 36 points anyway. But it was just, it was really bad. Derrick Henry looked good for the most part, as he always does against the Jaguars, but the offense kind of stalled after the first quarter, couldn't get anything going. The defense couldn't stop the Jaguars at all. They couldn't even get any pressure on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if Luke, you want to go first. What do you think of this game? I assume you saw it, and if you did, what were your thoughts on it? And yeah.
Well, biggest thought I already shared is that no receiver got open at any point during the game. Now, am I being hyperbolic? Yes. But there was no separation, and Tannehill had no shot, and he got jobbed on that quick fire interception where Nick Westbrook-Ikhina was nowhere to be found. It's just bad, and Dennis Daly's gonna get Tannehill killed, and if I'm Tannehill, I'm honestly like a little upset with Mike Vrabel about that. Like do you care about Tannehill's health? Because he's getting crushed. Now, you guys could answer this question. Who else would they put out there?
LaRaven Clark, even though it should be Dylan Radins at tackle. Radins. But they think he's a guard. And, like, okay, that's your decision. The coaching staff is going to have to live with that. But don't act like they haven't had the option, you know, to put him in there. Like, he was drafted as a tackle. He was a good tackle in college.
Did he play left tackle against the 49ers?
Yeah, and
he played Nick right Bosa tackle. Down.
No, he played and then Nick Bosa went to the right side because he could beat up on Questenberry and couldn't beat Radins.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, so just on that real quick, it's like the best game of the year they've had, he was, Dylan Radins was in at left guard because Ben Jones, like, against the Packers. And Brewer was at center because Ben Jones was out. So it's like, but anyway, who would play left tackle? It would technically be LaRaven Clark, even though you could put Radins there or you could move, which I'm not advocating for moving Nicholas Petit-Frere over to left tackle when he's played right tackle all year. But like at this point, it doesn't matter how good your right tackle is playing because your left tackle is so bad that there's no, like, he's just getting destroyed. So, it would be better if you just didn't play a fifth offensive lineman.
Yeah, so I don't really know what else we could talk about this game because it was just such a disaster, but I'm...
Well, I'll say this. Is there any question that they were a distracted and not focused team?
Yeah, I mean, that's they did want to ask you.
Turnovers. Yes. I mean, they had 4 turnovers. The defense didn't get any. There was no effort by the defense. Like they didn't try to jump any routes. Like they didn't get a good pass rush. They looked complacent. You know, they didn't seem to get. They didn't seem to care too much when, you know, the Jaguars would get an interception and then run all the way to the end zone and celebrate and do all this. And it's like they were getting like made fun of at home by the other team, and there was no pushback, you know. And by the way, this was Mike Vrabel's dream game. Derrick Henry had success as a runner. They stopped the other team's running game, but they turned the ball over because it just nobody was focused. Like you said, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina didn't even realize he was supposed to catch the ball. Like he was supposed to turn around and catch it, you know, instead of going out of bounds or putting, you know, the ball in, towards the sideline or doing whatever. Like Derrick Henry fumbles on a 2-minute drill that was a 10-point swing. Then Dennis Daly just absolutely lets Tannehill get blasted. Like, and you know, get killed from behind, and it's like he has to scrape himself up off the ground. And Mike Vrabel comes out on Monday and says, you know, yeah, we just can't get beat inside. And it's like on the forced fumble, it's like it was an outside move. And, you know, like it's just, it's, you know, he also, which Paul Karski give him credit on this, like he tweeted and said that too often this team gets away with saying there's just a lot of things that are going wrong when they're asked about things that are going wrong that are just like, you know, there's a lot of issues. It's like it's one of the, you know, it's just the 2020 version of got to coach better, got to play better. It's the whole like, if I just deflect this and, you know, it sounds like I take accountability, but I really am not saying anything, then I get away from it. And it's like, you know, I'm obviously not a big like Paul Kaharski like stan. I'm not like he's the best to ever do it. And I don't even think I think his version of hard questions is sometimes ridiculous. But, you know, this is time when, you know, they came out on Monday to the press conference, and I don't know if they were told not to ask about Todd Downing. I don't know what the deal was, but there was no mention of, are they going to try to do anything different? It was just a ton of softballs. Like, how's Dontrell Hill? Are you doing? Oh, thanks for asking. He's doing good. And I'm just like, what are we doing here?
That sigh says it all. what do you guys think about the Titans season and where it's heading? Because, I mean, they've lost three straight games, and the past 2 weeks they've given up 71 points, if I'm doing the math correctly. They still haven't scored more than 30 points in a single game on offense, and that doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon. They're probably going to win the division, but I could see them losing every game for the rest of the season. Like,
Here's what's going to happen. Sure? They're going to win the division, and they're going to win a playoff game. Mark my words. And here's why I say that. Because there is absolutely no reason to believe that the latter is going to happen. They're going to win the division just because Jacksonville sucks. But they're going to win a playoff game because no one expects them to. And that's what Mike Vrabel does. It's like, as soon as you're like, they got no shot, Mike Vrabel's like, hey, y'all, watch this. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're absolutely not going to win the Super Bowl. If they make it to the divisional round of the playoffs, they're going to get shellacked by wherever they have to travel. But they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win a playoff game. I just really believe that. And I believe it because there's no reason to believe it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I feel like the season is different. I feel like we're not getting those Mike Vrabel, I think we only got it in the Chiefs game, really, and they ended up losing that game anyway because
they would have won that game with Tannehill.
Yeah, with Tannehill and with Todd Downing that actually, you know, could do anything in terms of offensive play calling in the second half. But, I mean, the other games, the Bills game, I think would have qualified for that. They got absolutely destroyed, which, fair, the Bills are a good team. The Bengals game, probably, you know, or the Philadelphia game, I think in past seasons, they probably go into Philadelphia and at the very least make it a really tight game. Not even close, you know? Like, I feel like the season is different, and I just don't see this team. I don't see them winning a game in the playoffs, really, especially if they play like they have these past couple of weeks, and especially if they look as unfocused and as, like, disconnected from the game like they did in this Jaguars one. And I do think the John Robinson firing had something to do with it. Even Tannehill before the game, I think, said that it does affect you in a way, and he did try to downplay it a little bit, but, like, John Robinson was a high-character guy. A lot of the players really liked him a lot, and it was, a huge surprise to us. Imagine to the players who he's had, you know, contact with very frequently. A lot of them he signed, a lot of them he's drafted, and, yeah, I feel like that's going to play a role in the rest of the season. I don't think the Titans were going anywhere anyway, even if John Robinson was still employed by the team, because this team had a lot of flaws and the coaching staff just isn't great right now, particularly on offense. But it just feels like a very lost season.
So you know, I came into this discussion assuming that I was going to trash the Titans. You know what I think? I think Luke has a point, because what's the worst thing that could happen to the Titans? The worst thing that could happen to the Titans is that they go to the playoffs.
Ryan Tannehill tears his ACL.
No, the fans
My
would
goodness.
Love that. The fans
oh,
would love
that's
that.
True. That's,
like, they would eat that.
Why? Malik Willis is awful.
Yeah, they don't care. Like, that, they don't care who's good at football. They just care about the thing that they were arguing with people about 6 months ago. But so here's the worst thing that could happen. They go to the playoffs. They play the Bengals. Tannehill lights it up. 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Derrick Henry has another, you know, one of his recent playoff performances, 25 carries for 85 yards. Like, largely effective.
That's being generous to Derrick Henry's performance. Yeah.
Did you say 85? 85 yards?
Yeah, 25 for 85. I mean, what did he have, 20 for 70 or something 40. Last playoff?
Was and like then he averaged for 40 yards or something.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
And then he averaged 2.2 against Baltimore 2 years ago. So I mean, like, he's had more bad than good. But the point I'm trying to make is they do well. Tannehill is the one who drags them to a win. Then the next week, Tannehill goes 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Derrick Henry has the same game. They lose by 14 points. So fans have to continue the narrative of, well, it's because they have to say, well, you know, Tannehill didn't do enough, because that's the only narrative they have, because it can't be a Mike Vrabel problem. And they'll never admit that Derrick Henry's the issue. And they will trade Ryan Tannehill for whatever, because every team needs a quarterback and he's a good quarterback. They'll trade Ryan Tannehill, and then Mike Vrabel would come out and say, you know, we're committed to the running game. We're going to get the ball. And they'll build around Derrick Henry the entire offseason, despite all the evidence saying that they shouldn't. Todd Downing will get another year, because you don't fire an offensive coordinator and when you go to the playoffs and you win a game. I mean, like, clearly he's got this thing figured out. And so next year they get the same exact coaching staff. They lose Ryan Tannehill. They have Derrick Henry as the focal point of their offense. And it's just a 5-12 team, just like get their teeth absolutely kicked in, because they have this big, massive rebuild and they don't understand what they're trying to build towards, and they don't have anybody who knows how to build towards it.
That is some dark stuff right there.
Who's trading Tannehill?
Good question.
The Titans,
know.
Probably.
whoever the GM is.
That's what I mean. Who's making that call?
I'm interested. Who do you guys think the GM is going to be? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it'll be somebody.
He would
never do anything shady like that. You remember that whole season where he pretended like he didn't have a defensive coordinator? that was crazy, honest.
It was him.
Yeah,
he didn't have one.
I know. And he told everybody it was Shane Bowen. I'm old enough to
remember. You
remember
that end of season press conference where after another disaster, he went, "All right, guys, the jig is up. I'm going to admit it. It was all Shane Bowen.
It was that guy's fault." And then ran out for 4 months. And it's like, wow. But I mean, like, I don't, say whatever you want. Say that Mike Vrabel didn't have a hand in this or whatever. Somebody said it best when they said he might not have been the one who engineered it, but he's the one who didn't stop it if he thought it was wrong. You know, he, like, Amy was not going to say, "I'm going to fire you in the middle of the season and I'm going to fire John Robinson." Like, that is never what would have happened. So if he truly thought it was the wrong thing, he would have stood up for Robinson. And, you know, I'm not saying to sacrifice your job for your friend or general manager or whatever. Like, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, he's not innocent here. Like, he didn't put up a fight. He didn't say, like, you know, he said the same boilerplate stuff that Amy did. He didn't he doesn't get a pass with this either. Whether he had a big hand in it or a little hand in it, he was involved in some way. But, you know, there's a bunch of different general manager candidates that they have talked about. But I mean, Vrabel's also said, you know, "I'm going to help however I can and I'll help with that process and all that." So he's going to pick, you know, everything we know about Mike Vrabel is he works with people he knows. Like, whether it's hiring guys, whether it's getting free agents off the street. It's like he gets people that he has firsthand experience with. And there's no way that he's going to hire somebody who's going to do the right thing and disagree with him when times get hard. That's not what Mike Vrabel wants. Mike Vrabel wants a buddy who's going to agree with him so that he can get this done. And honestly, that's what 95% of us want. So I don't fault that. But anybody who's like, you know, they're going to conduct a real search and they're going to turn over every rock and they're like, that's not – you don't make this move without having a short list. You don't make this move if you're a competent owner without a short list of names that says, okay, these are the five guys we think can do a better job than he. Like, you just don't do that. So either they have a short list and it's some really impressive names, or more likely it'll be an internal candidate, which means it's going to be somebody that is going to be the poor man's version of John Robinson, because he was the vice president or second in command or whatever to the current regime. And the only difference is Mike Vrabel is going to have a more of a say in, you know, who signs. So like, I think it's a 75% chance that it's somebody in the building that Mike Vrabel signs off on as somebody he thinks that he can kind of puppet around.
It'll be interesting.
That's for sure. I guess just last one to finish before we do stop the nonsense. Do you guys think there's any chance that the Titans don't make playoffs?
No.
No. Really? I think the Jaguars mess it up for themselves. I think the Jaguars lose this week because, you know, people forget they don't get to play the Titans every week. They just have them one more time. So they've got to play.
They do the last game of the season, though. Imagine if it comes down to that one in Jacksonville. But, you know, oh, man.
It's like they've got Dallas is like, I mean, they lost 40-14 to Detroit like the week before they played us. So, I mean, I assume they're going to lose to Dallas, who apparently is getting Tyron Smith back this week, which makes perfect sense because he's going to get just into form so we can play him. And I think the Titans are going to win probably the Dallas game on Thursday night or whatever the short week it is.
You think they could beat the Cowboys?
I mean, I think they're going. I think a short week at home, I think they have an advantage there. Yeah. And then I think because Dallas is good. Like, they, you know, they put up a lot of points or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. Like, they, like, it's not like they're a perfect team. So I think they.
I mean, they're more of a better running team. I think that benefits the Titans. But I can't stop thinking about Micah Parsons going up against Dennis Daly. That is going to be just a horror show.
Yeah. I mean, buckle up, because this week they're going to have to go against Khalil Mack and maybe Bosa if he comes back. So it's like, we'll see what happens. But I mean, you know, like I assume that, you know, he'll get his and, you know, that'll be a great matchup for them. But I just think based on what I know about this team and Mike Vrabel and what will happen is the Jags will lose to the Cowboys. The Titans will beat the Cowboys later. The Titans will beat Houston, and then they'll be in and they'll have everybody, like they'll have half their players benched for the Jaguars game. And then they'll probably still win that game, like, because it'll be a revenge game or whatever. And Malik Willis will go crazy or something weird will happen. But like, it'll look like they barely squeaked in, and then they'll win a game and everybody will say, oh, that Titans team, you just can't keep them down. And it's like, it'll be like, it's a credit to their coach, Mike Vrabel, who really, you can tell the personality on this team. And it's like,
you would just die a slow death if that happened.
Dude, last year when Henry got hurt and I called the shot like months in advance. I was like, they're going to keep running the ball. They're going to win. And that, like, he's going to get coach of the year. And sure enough, it was the beginning of the downfall of the Titans, where he gets coach of the year. And then, like, now Robinson's gone. I truly do think that, I mean, maybe I'll say this, because I'm interested in what y'all think. I think this offseason, if they don't get a general manager who's outside of the building, who's got a proven track record and who nails this offseason, I think that they will not only not make the playoffs next year, I don't think they'll have a winning season. And I think it will be full clean house. Everybody's gone. Like, I think that's the way I look at it right now. Not because the talent's not there. The talent is there. But if Downing stays and if they keep, you know, I'm not at this point, I'm assuming that they're going to play 90 players a year. So, and with that assumption and with the, you know, with those two things in place, I don't think that a guy can come in and start what he thinks is part of a rebuild with this happening. And I just think it's going to be a disaster.
I don't know. I don't know what they're, I feel like they're going to hire from within. I don't think they're going
to
hire.
I don't know.
Someone.
I think Ryan Cowden is too attached to John Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be true. That might be true. Yeah, I don't know if they want report. That.
The guy I think is an interesting candidate is the guy who's the number two with the Jets, just because of the class that the Jets have had like this year, like just nailing it. But again, it's hard because the Titans are not going to be in a position to draft a Sauce Gardner. Like they're not going to have two top 10 picks. So like, I mean, you need somebody, and Rick Smith is a name too, who has gone around a lot, which I like him, and I would be on board with that because he basically built the Texans into a contender and that worked for them. So, I mean, I would be on board with that, but you've got to get a guy who can pick true first round talents with picks that are in the mid 20s. And when you look at the track record of anybody, like those picks almost never hit. I mean, sometimes they do, but the problem is we're like, yeah, but what about this guy who's drafted 21? It's like, yeah, but what about the 100 other guys in the last 5 years who drafted who are either in jail or who are out of the league or who have chronic injuries or who got traded for a fourth round pick? To, you know, it's like the hit rate just isn't what people think it is.
Yeah.
All I'll say is if they keep tailoring the offense to an aging Derrick Henry and a bad offensive line, it's just going to be a disaster. So please, for the love of God, just do something different on offense next year. Although if Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator, I'm not going to watch, man. I honestly don't think I'll watch next season if Todd Downing is back and is the offensive coordinator, even though I always say similar things. And then I end up watching anyway, but I really do believe that. Anyway, let's take an ad break here, one final one, and then we'll come back with Stop the Nonsense. Welcome back into No Nonsense, the Tennessee Titans podcast. I just realized we never even did a Chargers preview, but there was too much to talk about carrying over from last week. Anyway, the Titans travel to LA to take on the Chargers, who just beat the Dolphins, actually. Got a huge win, and it looked like they're finally looking like a good defensive team, which hasn't been the case for most of the season. So should be a tough game for the Titans, but hopefully it's a fun one. Anyway, let's do Stop the Nonsense. Luke, since you're our guest of honor, do you want to go first?
Sure. So twice in the last week, my Stop the Nonsense goes out to whatever delivery worker is servicing my apartment. Because twice in the last week, I have ordered something on the internet, gotten the notification that it has been delivered, and returned home to not have the thing. Okay? First, it was a book. Never saw the book. And then second, so this is weird anyway, it was a package that had nothing in it but a toothbrush. And the reason is I was making my Walmart grocery pickup order, and I just used my last toothbrush, and so I'm like, okay, I need to order more toothbrushes. So put it in the orders, like $4, you know. Well, I hit submit, and it's like, oh, we don't have that toothbrush at the store, but that's okay. We'll deliver it to you, no charge. I'm like, all right, whatever. So the funny thing is, again, this like a week on the heels of the book never showing up, they send like a picture. They send me an email. They're like, the toothbrush has been delivered, and to prove it, we have sent you a picture. And I click on the picture, and I'm like, that's not my apartment. And I don't know what is happening. I have had plenty of things delivered successfully to my front door. And then just in the last week, stuff isn't showing up. Now, I have been refunded for both things. They sent me my $4 back for the toothbrush, and my $8 or $9 for the book that never showed up. But it is just severely frustrating because then I have to go order it again and I have to fool with customer service trying to get the refund. And it's just a pain in the neck when really all this comes down to is just read the number on the door. Like, read the number. If it doesn't say the number that I gave you to deliver it to, then don't put it at that door. Put it at the door with the right number. So that is my stomp the nonsense.
I love the idea of somebody bringing your packages and just being like, I'm going to take this picture and it like not be in the right door. And then the company being like, I don't know what to tell you. They took a picture. I'm like, if they took a picture of their own house, does that count? Like,
that's what I have to do. They're like, we see that when I'm talking to like chatting with the customer service and you know, the box that comes up in the right of your computer, you do that like live chat. Uh-huh. They're like, I see that the item has been delivered. What seems to be the problem? I'm like, it wasn't delivered here.
It's like, well, that's simply not our fault. And it's like, well, somebody needs to be held accountable. Okay, I'll go ahead and do mine. So for me, it's been mock draft season because, as you heard, already? I'm not overly optimistic. I am not optimistic about the rest of the season. So I've held off all year and I hadn't looked at them. But this week I started cracking into them, which luckily enough, I think it was Todd McShay on ESPN put out his first mock draft. And his first mock draft pick for the Titans is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the slot wide receiver from Ohio State. And I cannot imagine somebody who, if they didn't go to Ohio State, is less of a Mike Vrabel type pick. Because if you're not familiar with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, like I said, he's a smaller slot wide receiver who some teams had a third round grade coming out of last year, even though he's really good. But because he had 1,600 yards in 2021. But this year, he's been injured all season. And it's going to end up, I think he'll end up have played in like one game, which was the Notre Dame game. And that even that might be wrong. Like, I'm not 100% sure. But basically, they have not, the Titans aren't spending their pick on like a big outside wide receiver or an offensive lineman or even a defensive end, which I don't necessarily agree with, but like people have talked like that's an idea. It's like the slot wide receiver who's been injured, who like can't really block. And it's like, at a certain point, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I get mad at these things, but I'm just like, just copy and paste something that somebody else did that knows the Titans. Like, it's very frustrating, but that's fun. So I'm glad to get mad at something that, like, actually could change in the future instead of getting mad at, like, the Titans playing Dennis Daly over and over again. Like, this at least might change over the next 3 months.
I am excited to see how the Titans draft now with John Robinson gone, because he had pretty clear, like, trends and patterns in terms of where he drafted guys from and what positions and with holes on the roster as well. So should be interesting with the new GM. So for my stuff and nonsense, I was actually looking for one because I didn't come prepared as per usual. But then I remembered that Byron Leftwich left us with just a gem, a gem of a quote. So this was after the Saints-Buccaneers game. I think it was on, was it Thursday night or Monday night? I honestly can't remember at this point. Anyway, it was 2 weeks ago. The Buccaneers ended up winning on like a last second game-winning drive by Tom Brady, where the Buccaneers went up-tempo, obviously, because they didn't have a lot of time to huddle up and such. And then a day later, Byron Leftwich gets asked if a team would be able to go up-tempo for an entire game. His response is, I believe so. I believe this game comes down to scoring. I know a lot of you guys look at a lot of those things, but this game comes down to scoring. That's the one thing that's 100% true. You score more points than the other team, you win the ball game every single time. Nobody has ever lost scoring more points than the other team. There's a lot of numbers out there that can seem somewhat factual, but it comes down to the only number that's guaranteed in any analytics is if you score more points than the other team, you win. I think any offense can work as long as you score points doing it. just absolute babbling, makes no sense. And this is the guy who is coordinating an offense led by Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, Rashad White, Leonard Fournette. They're scoring 17.2 points per game. Worse than the Titans. Worse than the Todd Downing Titans. And this guy is talking about if you score more points than the other team, you win. Well, that's why you've lost 8 games. That's why your offense is terrible. So just absolutely ridiculous. It's a clown show over there in Tampa Bay with Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich. I think Titans fans could at least be thankful for that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard when Tom Brady is the quarterback next year. I did forget about that subplot about him.
Oh, I saw your tweets about that. That was funny.
Yeah, I think that's like that. That would be the ultimate like gratification for me, where it's like, okay, y'all wanted Mike Vrabel, who notoriously like brings in his friends and people he played. I'm like, this is what's going to happen, and they're going to get a 47-year-old Tom Brady, and he's going to turn into absolute dust in front of us. So that would be a very funny. And then everybody was like, he better than Tannehill, and I'm like, you guys are the worst.
I don't know if he would be with Dennis Daly as his left tackle.
No, he's terrible now. He has Tristan yeah. Wirfs, and he has a good offensive line, Mike Evans, and like, I mean, it's a team he's played with for 3 years. I mean, like, there's no reason for him to be bad now, and he's bad now. So, I don't imagine coming to Tennessee and playing with Dennis Daly as your left tackle, who I can only assume Mike Vrabel is going to give a 10-year deal to. Like, I can't imagine that'll work out well.
That actually might be my worst-case scenario, getting 46-year-old Tom Brady behind this offensive line. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what the Titans do. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for tuning in for a special edition of No Nonsense Tennessee Titans podcast. We'll be back. Actually, I don't know if I'll be back. I'm going to be in Spain for the next 2 weeks, so I don't know if we're going to do a pod these next 2 weeks. Well, we'll keep you updated, though. Hopefully the Titans could get back on track with a win over the Chargers and get their season back on the rails. That'll do it for us. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always stop the nonsense.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.